The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Derek Dorch of the Diversa Group, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch. Derek walks you through how to win government jobs, effectively manage your government career, and best utilize government services. Every week on Fed Access, you'll learn about interesting federal agencies, workers, and careers. Fed Access provides you the access you need to succeed in the federal government. And now your host, Derek T. Dorch.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Thank you for stopping by the show. We are always glad to have you. Today, we're going to be talking about the Army, and we're going to be talking about the Army as it relates to really kind of preparing our soldiers to transition. After they serve, they've done a great job for our country. They've been overseas, and some have served in different bases around the country and doing things to kind of keep our nation safe. But after that period of time, there's a time in which they have to go back out into the world in terms of maybe getting a job, government jobs, civilian jobs, private sector, nonprofit sector. But how are we preparing them? How are we making sure that they're going to come out of the military and then be able to transition and have success beyond their military career? We're going to be talking about that today. I've got on the line with me Colonel Walter Hurd. He is retired from the military, but he's still with the Army serving, and he's the director of the Soldier for Life Transition Assistance Program. And I want to make sure I got that title right. Colonel Hurd, did I get that title right?
Yes, you did, Derek. Well done.
Thank you, sir. We've got you on the line right now. You're out in Kentucky with the Army Human Resources Command, but he's on with us today. He's going to be talking about the Transition Assistance Program and all the different things that go on. Sir, before I kind of get into that, tell me, because you've had that experience yourself in terms of the military. I mean, especially being as a colonel, you spend a lot of time in the military. What have you seen as the changes with transition? What have you seen throughout your time period that when you first got into the military up until now? Are we taking transition more serious? Are we looking at it in a different way? And then let me also say thank you for your service and thank you being on the show as we move forward.
Well, first, thank you for your service, Derek. I appreciate that very much, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you and with your listeners, many of whom I know have also served in the past, some perhaps still in uniform, and then many working to serve our country still today. So I appreciate your service, their service, and the opportunity to share with you a program I'm really excited about. So you're right. I spent about a quarter of a century in uniform, loved every day of it, moved around the country with my family, just had some phenomenal experiences, very proud of it. But the transition, the last day you take your uniform off, it's a tough day. I will tell you, it's tough for old colonels, and it's tough for young E4s and sergeants and everybody in between. And the key that I learned then, and it's really the same key that we try to focus on now, is that the transitioning soldier really needs to put some deliberate thought into the process of going back to the civilian sector. You know, every soldier started off life as a civilian, as much as we sometimes hate to admit it jokingly, but we all did. So it's really a return home for all of us, and it's hard. Historically, over the last couple of hundred years, the Army has kind of ebbed and flowed with regards to how much we assist soldiers in that transition. Sometimes it's a lot of assistance, and sometimes it's almost none at all. I'm very pleased that over the last several years, we have really begun to provide a lot of assistance to these soldiers with the Soldier for Life Transition Assistance Program.
You know, when we think about this, and I know we were talking about this before we got started, there's the Transition Assistance Program, and then there's Soldier for Life, and you kind of run the Soldier for Life Transition Assistance Program. What's the distinct differences between Soldier for Life program and then your program as a whole in terms of the TAP program? Where are there distinctions at, and what should soldiers know about that?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I tell you, the concept of being a soldier for life is really a culture change and a mindset change more than anything else. I jokingly tell people that I have been a soldier since I was about 6 years old because that's all I ever wanted to do. And even after I took my uniform off, I'm still, in essence, soldiering. So I think that's true for a lot of our soldiers. So the Soldier for Life program, run by a good friend of mine, Colonel Adam Rock, in Washington, D.C. He works in the G1's office, and their job is really to help change that culture in our Army so that soldiers are, in fact, soldiers for life, even long after they take the uniform off, deep in their heart and their soul, they're American soldiers. So he's working on that culture. He interacts with industry on a regular basis, with education, with healthcare, so that all of that effort and that culture can go back and forth. A piece of that culture is to help soldiers transition successfully. So we have taken the old Army and Career and Alumni program and have changed that and re-engineered that to a new way of thinking so that we're helping soldiers transition back to the civilian sector, but remembering that in our heart and soul, we are still soldiers for life.
You know, I remember, and you know, out of my time in the Marine, they always said, once a Marine, always Marine. And I was glad to kind of see the, and you know, the Soldier for Life program, because really, and you know, sir, that that kind of military mindset never leaves you. You know, like you said, you never really kind of stop kind of being a military service member once you leave. Have a lot of people really embraced that whole concept? Have you seen a lot of kind of positive response from, you know, prior service soldiers? You know, who served in all the different eras, whether it be World War II, Vietnam, Korea, or Gulf War, or everything else. Have you seen a lot of people kind of embrace that and also kind of take hold to really embrace the new soldiers who are coming in and getting out?
Yeah, we have. And it's surprising if you talk to an old veteran, even older than me, if you can believe that, and one of the highlights of their life, even if they were just in uniform for a couple of years, they always mention that couple of years.
Right.
Out of a 60, 70, 80, 90-year-old lifespan, they always tell you about the 2 or 3 years they were in the Army. So I think the Soldier for Life concept is strong and getting stronger. So one of the things we try to do is to energize a huge alumni base out there in Main Street America to help the young transitioning soldiers kind of plug back in. And that is a hard plug to make, whether you make it at age 21 or 22 or, you know, 51 or 52, it's still a hard change, particularly if you're not ready for it. So really, the focus of the program that we run here at Fort Knox, Kentucky, under the Human Resources Command, is to help soldiers prepare for the inevitable. Everybody transitions.
Right.
You retire, you ETS, or somehow or another, we all leave active duty.
You know, when you're thinking about that and think of, and I was even just kind of thinking about the current state of affairs. It used to be a time period that a lot of people came into the military and you were going to put your 20 years retire. That kind of concept is not as what it used to be. I mean, the military sometimes, are involuntary letting people go based on budget, based on requirements, based on certain things. Different branches have been scaling back, because we're not in a wartime scenario. So whether you want to, maybe want to spend 20 years in the military, but you may not have a choice. Are we seeing that as kind of a new way that it is, sir, in terms of kind of, you know, hey, that you've got to be prepared no matter what?
Exactly. So, you know, a key tenet to America's national military strategy is that the size of the Army can ebb and flow in parallel with the size of the threat, right? High threat, we get a big Army. Low threat, we get a smaller Army. About 17, maybe 15% of the soldiers actually stay in for 20 years and retire. That's a pretty small percentage. So do the reverse math, that's about 83 or 85% of the soldiers get out, get off of active duty prior to a retirement. Now, some of them perhaps would rather not, but the long and short of it is the vast majority of soldiers leave active duty before a 20-year retirement. So the key is to engage with them early on this conversation so they begin the thought process of what do I want to do when I become a civilian again.
And you know, it sounds as if that conversation, and I was just, and we're, I want, and on the next segment, I want to kind of go in through the process, because now I'm seeing that, you know, we're talking about getting started early. Is that kind of being put into even new recruits' minds now? That hey, listen, not that we want people to, you know, be thinking about, you know, when you're going through boot camp and you're in your first year of the military, that when you get out, but there is a little bit of kind of a thoughtfulness process to say, hey, listen, I'm coming in, and I should also be thinking about whether I get a degree, whether I get certain certifications. I should be thinking about the next step beyond service at all stages of my career. Is that kind of a new mindset that's going throughout the Army?
It is, in fact. So now at the basic training and initial entry training across the Army, not only do soldiers learn basic soldiering skills, marksmanship, how to march, how to live in the field, how to close with and destroy the enemies of our country, but they're also learning some things like how to manage a lifelong budget, how to take my military skills and trade and add that into some kind of a certificate or credential so that I can get a civilian license. So those discussions are happening very early and then throughout the life cycle, so that it's not a big surprise at transition time that nobody ever thought about it before. So that they have thought about it, and that's changing in our culture. And I've got some great statistics I'll share with you in a few minutes to just kind of drive home some of our successes.
That's outstanding. We're talking to Colonel Walter Hurd. He's retired from the Army, but he is running the Soldier for Life Transition Assistance Program, a program that's basically out there to help any soldier who is separating from the military and really make sure that they are successful after their military service in the Army. We want to make sure that we don't have situations with soldiers leaving and they don't have jobs and they don't have the right financial situation. We don't want any of our veterans to be out there in a desperate situation. We want them to actually come out of the military and then rise up and then continue to serve our country in the private sector, in the nonprofit sector, in government sectors, and everywhere else. And this is part of a program that's helping them succeed. When we come back, we're going to continue to talk about the process of the Soldier for Life Transition Assistance Program, about how do we prepare these soldiers in order to make sure that they're successful after their service. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we have been talking about transition. We have been talking about the military, talking about the Army, and talking about preparing soldiers to transition. At some point in time, whether you spend a full 20 or 30 years in the military, or whether you spend 4 years in the military, at some point in time, you got to take off that uniform and go back into the civilian life. The key thing is, how do we do it, and how do we make sure that you are successful in going back into civilian life? And that's what we're talking about today. We're talking to Colonel Walter Hurd. He's retired from the Army, but now he's gone back to help the Army with the Human Resources Command, and he's director of the Soldier for Life Transition Assistance Program, and basically working with all the different soldiers and developing programs around the country and possibly even around overseas at different bases to make sure our military service members in the Army are prepared to make that transition successfully. You know, sir, when we think about the process, you know, and we kind of talked about that, and I'm really happy to hear that now even in boot camp, that our soldiers are really kind of, you know, being kind of required to think about the future. Because, you know, I know in my boot camp days, that was not part of your part of your training. That was like, hey, this is your rifle. This is, you know, all this other kind of stuff. And this is what you do. And they didn't want you thinking about anything else. But I'm glad that now that, you know, hey, this is the part of the process. What is the process now in terms of kind of getting a soldier thinking about a transition? Where do they start from, and walk me through the whole stages?
Yeah, that's a great question, Derek. Thank you. First, a couple of minutes ago, you used the term separating from the Army. A lot of people use that term, so I want to correct that if you don't mind.
Sure.
And we found that a large percentage of soldiers transitioning off of active duty, in fact, stay in the Army. They simply stay in as a reserve component soldier.
Okay.
In the Army Reserve or the Army National Guard. So they're not leaving the Army. They're simply transitioning off of active duty.
Gotcha.
Again, back to the culture, a soldier for life, you're a soldier for life. You don't leave the Army. You may be in the regular Army. You may be in the Guard or Reserve. You may be an old soldier, but still a soldier for life.
Outstanding.
So as we begin that transition assistance program effort. Really what we try to do is meet with soldiers about a year before their transition. The transition might be an ETS for a three-year soldier, maybe getting out at the end of 3 years. It might be a retirement, might be a medical review, or any one of a number of reasons. Could be a reserve component soldier who's mobilized maybe just for a year and a half or 2 years, but about a year, no later than a year before their last regular Army paycheck, active duty paycheck, they begin to go through our program. And, of course, it doesn't take a year's worth of work. It's really about 5 to 10 days scattered out over a year. And I think that's an important note to make, that it's ideal to scatter it out over a year instead of just doing 5 to 10 days back to back.
Right. And, you know, it used to be a time where they would say, you know, the last 6 months of your service, last 3 to 6 months of your service, you were just focusing on TAP. But now, I mean, that 12 to 24 months, which means, you know, kind of 1 to 2 years where you're thinking about your career and thinking about the future, that gives you a lot more time to kind of plan some things out and be strategic.
Exactly. You know, I tell people that transition assistance is like PT. You can't wait until a couple months before a PT test and then do push-ups 8 hours a day.
Right.
It's really ideal to do, you know, to work out a little bit every day for a year, and then you're ready to go on PT test today. And transition assistance is the same way, because some of the things you have to do, you have to research a community. You have to research an industry. You have to network. You have to make phone calls. You have to write a resume, adjust a resume, and get feedback. And you can't do that overnight. It takes time to think about it and sleep on it and talk to your family about it and do some analysis. We try to tell folks that they want to do the same mission preparation for transition back to civilian life that they do when they're preparing for an overseas mission in Iraq or Afghanistan or other countries to follow.
That's right. You know, as we look at it and kind of a first time getting a person registered for these services, how do they go about learning about your program? And then what services come along with when they register? What are they going to learn about? What are they going to get involved in when they register for your services?
Yeah, good question. So really, there's about a dozen things that we encourage our soldiers to do in order to become, quote, career ready. So these dozen things, some of them take a few minutes, some of them take a couple of days, include Army efforts as well as briefings by the Veterans Administration and the Department of Labor. The first thing is a simple pre-separation counseling. Think of that as reading a menu at a restaurant. Here's all the things on the menu. Think about it. I'll come back later in 5 minutes and take your order. So that pre-separation counseling gives a brief summary of all the things they're going to get to do. Those things include a Veterans Administration benefits brief, probably one of the most popular activities that we support, because everybody gets some VA benefits, and you want to know what they are. It's important to your family and your children and your spouse, et cetera, to know what they are. So that's a hot seller. Another activity that we have is a financial planning and resume class. One of the career readiness standards is that every soldier have a resume, a budget, mm-hmm. And a resume, but a budget that shows their income and expenses for the 12 months post their transition. So as part of that budget class and training, a qualified financial advisor looks at the budget and sits down and talks to the soldier about their income and their expenses and kind of grades their homework so that they have a viable budget. So, again, that's not something you can do on a Thursday afternoon.
Right.
You have to go back and forth and think about it and talk to your family and long-term plans and do some research over time.
And, Colonel Hurt, let me ask this question real quick, because I remember, and I'm sure you remember, back in the time period that being a young person in the military, you were really, I'll call it predatory. I mean, you had a lot of predatory lenders. You had those people right outside the base. You had those quick loan places, the car places. Everybody wanted to kind of give you something real quick because you had that military check coming in. And a lot of times, service members got in trouble. rebel, especially your young officers or young enlisted. Is that something even now, is that's being addressed kind of like not only for right now, but for the long term to really kind of get service members thinking about, hey, listen, be careful about how you put yourself in a financial situation and be careful about these predators?
Yeah, it is. In fact, that's covered in detail throughout the life cycle and financial planning from the very beginning until the post-separation budget. And the rule of thumb there is one of my favorite rules. I live by it personally, and that is don't spend what you ain't got.
That's right.
That's not good grammar, and I apologize for all the frustrated English teachers out there, but it makes good policy sense.
That's right.
And if you follow that rule, you'll generally be okay, as you certainly know, financially. So we try to impart that to young soldiers, and then if they practice that for a lifetime, of course, good things happen.
You know, and continuing with that, so once they work on the budget aspect and then they start getting into that resume, talk a little bit more. Is the resume workshop really now focusing in on, you know, helping those soldiers understand how to relate, you know, the military skills to certain sectors? Sometimes I know a lot of times military people have had a hard time kind of relating what they do in the military to the private sector and kind of transitioning to the language the right way, not using acronyms that are so military centric, but then kind of swinging it over so a recruiter in the private sector or any other sector can understand the leadership and all the other skills that are brought to the table.
Yeah, that's a great question. So the resume itself, along with the job application, is really the kind of the culmination of several efforts. The first thing we do with our soldiers is help them go through an individual transition plan. That's when the soldier sits down in his or her own mind and determines, what do I want to do? And then based on what they want to do, they begin, if they begin early enough, as we encourage, they can sometimes begin some training or schooling or credentialing or networking to make that happen. And then some intelligence preparation of industries and locations where that opportunity exists. And then they begin to draft a resume for a particular industry at a particular location based on their particular desires. Because a generic resume isn't going to help you much. A resume has to be tailored to a particular target, which means the soldier's got to start early enough to clearly understand and articulate that particular target.
And, you know, that's the language of the military anyway, so hopefully, you know, we can kind of understand that, because we talk about targeting all the time in the military when we deal with the enemy and everything else, and it's the same process with your career. You got to kind of get a little bit more specific, got to be on target and make sure you gear your resume, your skills, and everything else based on those targets. So I'm glad to hear that conversation is going on.
Yeah.
We're talking to Colonel Walter Hurd. He's retired from the Army, but he's running the program that is called the Soldier for Life Transition Assistance Program. It's out of Army Human Resources Command. They're a great program that's out there really helping our soldiers transition. Those who are leaving active duty, and then they may be going over to the Guard, they may be going over to the Reserves, they may be going and just becoming that a former soldier who's no longer in active service, but they're still kind of helping out their community and still doing a number of different things in the different sectors and still being a part of their country. We're talking about the process to help them succeed in doing the transition, and we're going to keep on talking about it when we come back. You listen to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. And I'm going to kick us right back in 50 seconds. You good to go?
Yep, good. Right, so are we going to have four of these iterations?
Yep, so we got two
more.
So we're halfway home. And you see it goes quick, though, right?
Yeah, that's good. All good. I do want to talk unemployment compensation a little bit, but I can work it in.
I'll bring it up okay. On the next one. And then what we'll do is talk about, I know you mentioned the workshops, the resumes. We'll talk about the additional services and the special events. And then I do want to kind of get in the leadership buy-in in terms of, you know, the leaders and kind of that component of how important that is as well. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. George on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we have been having a great conversation about the Army, but really the Army in terms of transitioning our soldiers who were leaving out of active duty and then kind of leaving into going to either reserves, the National Guard, or kind of leaving service and then just serving their community and then going into the private sector, the nonprofit sectors, or government sectors, and still being a part. But they're soldiers for life, no longer a dynamic of kind of just getting out and you're no longer part of the military. You're no longer part of that culture. You're always a military service member. Once you've had that experience, it's always a part of you. And now the services, especially the Army, they're starting to embrace that more and more. We're talking to Colonel Walter Hurd. He's retired from the Army, but he's director of the Soldier for Life Transition Assistance Program, which is a special program to make sure that these service members who are transitioning succeed. And they do a number of different services. And we're talking about their services right now. Colonel Hurd, you know, as we look at it, we were talking about the resume, talking about the whole kind of process in terms of understanding your VA benefits. And let me even ask something on the VA benefits. There had always kind of been that whole are you a veteran or not? Has that conversation changed a little bit? You know, sometimes the veteran conversation was, you know, had you been in a certain theater or war theater or certain like things like that? Is that conversation moving now towards, you know, if you have served, you're more of a veteran and there may be different benefits that you can engage in or not?
There are slightly different benefits based on your experience, of course, while you serve. But I will tell you, most employers, when they connect with former soldiers, appreciate their service, whether it's strictly in the United States or in a theater of war,
right,
long-term or short-term. What they're looking for and what they appreciate are the attributes that a soldier brings to the workplace, and they're always excited about that.
You know, as we think about this and kind of think about all the different services you're providing, you've got a number of different workshops. So one is the resume workshop, but what else are you looking for? Is it the interview skills? Is it the dress for success? What else are you kind of talking about in your workshops?
Yeah, we cover all that. We spend a lot of time with interview skills, with what to wear sometimes. We have one of our career readiness standards is an MOS gap analysis between my Army MOS and my long-term goal as identified in my transition plan. So what we found there, some fascinating results, and that is that most soldiers do not want to continue their Army MOS type skill when they transition out of the Army. So an Army truck driver might not want to be a civilian truck driver, an Army mechanic, an Army MP, whatever the case may be. So that, again, reinforces the requirement to start this process early so that you can realize what you want to do and then begin the training and certification necessary to get there. So one of the things we do is just that, to focus on the MOS, kind of what you know now and what you think you need to know in order to have a different career.
You know, that's really, really interesting because, you know, it had been a push one time, and I know I served in the combat side, the infantry side of the Marine Corps, and of course, you know, when you were going through your transition, everybody always kind of said, hey, law enforcement, security, you know, I mean, there were certain things that you always, when you did your MOS kind of, you know, generator in terms of civilian careers, it would point you towards certain directions, right? And that's with anything, the truck driver, CDL license and everything else. But to hear that a lot of people are saying, you know what, I did this in the military, I enjoyed it, but now I want to get into something else. That's really, really interesting. And I'm glad to hear that, you know, those kind of surveys have been going on, because I think it does change how you guys are doing your transition work, right?
It absolutely does. In fact, we have a saying here in the program office, just like on the combat field, intelligence drives operation. So we try to manage and adjust our policy and our program based on data collected from a myriad of areas. One of the things we look at is how many soldiers apply for unemployment checks when they transition out of the Army. So all that, those numbers and the data and the socials come back to the Army so that we can verify honorable service. But at the same time, we can look at their MOS and their rank and how much transition assistance they did or did not get. So I'll throw out just a couple of interesting tidbits before I share with you some really good news. But first and foremost, we've learned that the most likely soldiers to draw unemployment are not the infantry soldier or the tanker or the cavalryman, which is what everybody thinks. In fact, the infantry soldier is way ahead of the Army average when it comes to getting out and going directly to work.
Wow. And is there a reason for that? Is there a reason?
Well, I think there is. I'm a little biased, like you, perhaps, but for some reason, the infantry soldier perhaps is a little more flexible, a little more I'll figure it out and make it happen and seize the objective no matter what it takes, or they're just more expectant to have a career change instead of just the same job in a different environment.
Right.
But
right.
The long and short of it is the numbers don't lie. And the first three or four on the most unemployed MOSs are not combat arms, but they're combat service support arms.
Wow. You know, that's really, really interesting. And I think we probably are biased, of course. But, you know, I mean, I do think back into that time, you know, time period that I kind of knew that, you know, there was only a limited amount of certain things. And that's still a limited, you know, path. Even if you went law enforcement or security, there's still a limited, you know, kind of path in those areas. Not that those aren't great careers, but you are not going to do the same things you did in combat arms in the military in the civilian world. So you kind of have to think beyond that and kind of say, okay, well, what else, you know, what else do I bring to the table? And as you probably remember, I mean, you know, when we talked about improvise, adapt, overcome, you always had to kind of think on your feet. You always had to be flexible. You always had to kind of, you know, use a number of different skills. You know, not it's not just about kind of, you know, destroying the enemy, but it's about working with people. It's about kind of really kind of being a problem solver with that. So I'm really happy to hear that.
So one of the things we tell industry, and I talk to industry leaders weekly, if not more often, and they're always looking to hire soldiers with particular skill sets. But in fact, we're encouraging hiring soldiers because of their attributes. Employees can learn a skill set,
right?
But it's hard to learn the attributes of dedication, perseverance, flexibility, integrity, and really the Army values that make us what we are. So once employers figure that out, you can see the light go off in their head, and that's why we're happy to announce just now, in fact, just a week or so ago, we found out that the a recently transitioned Army soldier is more likely to walk directly into a job than at any time in the last 13 years.
Now, would you say, Colonel Hurd, that is that because of, I mean, I know there's a lot of work that's been done with in terms of partnerships with the private sector, with different companies, the Hiring Hero programs. Would you say that all that kind of work is now really kind of, you know, generating that fruit as we see that the employers do? Are they starting to really get it to say that, you know, a military service member, an Army service member is a person who we want to hire? We can train them up quickly and then get them out doing, you know, whatever it is, you know, financial stuff or logistics or whatever the case is. Is that the reason?
Yeah, I'll tell you, there are many, many reasons. I certainly couldn't roll it up into one. But I think what we see here with the lowest unemployment expense that the Army's had, again, for the last 13 years, some certainly the economy, external factors, and that's good. But I'll tell you, the Army itself has put a tremendous amount of resources into the concept of preparing soldiers. We've invested millions of dollars. We have over 400 counselors and staff in over 50 locations across the entire globe to help soldiers get assistance. We have commanders at every level now that receive information, and they can talk to their soldiers and they can encourage them. We have invested, again, a lot of energy. Our installation commanders on every installation, MCOM headquarters proper with their organization, certainly the Army G1 and that organization, as well as stakeholders in the Veterans Affairs and Department of Defense have all worked together to help this come about. I'll tell you one quick vignette. Many years ago, as a commander, one of my soldiers was retiring, and I never thought to ask him, except on his retirement day when I was pinning a medal on his chest. I said, "So what are you doing now?" And he didn't know. In fact, he'd never thought about it. And I was ashamed at the time, but it makes a point now. I never thought to ask him.
Right.
It never crossed my mind at the time I was a battalion commander to ask this phenomenal master sergeant what he was doing. So we're trying to change the paradigm so that commanders ask that question. What are you doing? What are your plans? How's it coming?
You know, I want to talk about that leadership investment when we come back. We got to take a quick break. We're talking to Colonel Walter Hurd. He is the director. He's retired from the Army, but he's gone back to now help the Army in terms of he's director of the Soldier for Life Transition Assistance Program, really working very, very hard to make sure that a transitioning soldier who's getting out of active duty and maybe going to the reserve, the guard, or separating and just going into the community, that they are successful in what they do and making sure that they have all the skills, have all the education, have all the knowledge to make these right decisions, to get into a new career and be successful and contribute back to the country, contribute back to the community, contribute back to their own lives and their families. We're talking about this right now. We've got to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about the leadership dynamic. And I want to talk about the virtual services that your program has. Also, Colonel Hurd, we'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we have been talking about the Army and talking about really the dynamic of transition. We all know that if you're in the military at some point in time, whether you have served your 4 years or whether you've served 20 or 30 years in service, there has to be a time where that time is over and then you're going to have to transition out, take the uniform off, and then you're going to end up going out and getting a job in the private sector, the nonprofit sector, the government sector, and do some other things with what you're doing. And part of this is really kind of making sure that you succeed in that, making sure that, you know, your service is not in vain, but you take all the attributes and all the skills and all the great things you've done in the military, and now you transition it over to another sector, and you can have the same success in that and also in life after service. We're talking to Colonel Walter Hurd. He's retired from the Army, but he's come back as director of the Soldier for Life Transition Assistance Program, and they are in charge of making sure that the soldiers who transition are successful with this. You know, sir, you were talking about kind of the leadership buy-in. I wanted to kind of just speak to that real quick. You know, leadership buy-in is everything. If you don't have the leaders from the generals all the way to the E9s, you know, buying in your first sergeants and everyone else, and your even your unit leaders, your sergeants, if you don't have them buying into this, then is not going to succeed. What are you seeing in terms of the buy-in on the leadership component?
Well, I'll tell you, one of the indicators, one of the supporters of this low unemployment over the last 13 years is that we've really started to come around the corner and get leaders to understand it and to think about it and to buy in. Inherently, as you certainly know, the Army is about soldiers. We're not about ships. We're not about airplanes. We're not about tanks. We're about flesh and blood humanity. And our commanders are in the Army for that reason. Commanders love and support soldiers. That's what we all inherently want to do. We just, until fairly recently, didn't have a mechanism to kind of feed information and keep everybody on track. So I'm pretty happy to say, very happy to say, that commanders have got it. They want their soldiers to be successful. Commanders want their soldiers to be successful in uniform and out of uniform, short term and long term, and that's happening. Commanders or soldiers are more successful in the long run. Soldiers, on average, make more money than non-soldiers.
Wow.
Post-transition.
Are we seeing, even with the soldiers and probably an enlisted and, you know, and also the officer rank, are we seeing more investment in education, whether it be the community college? I know there's a lot of programs out there in terms of education, community colleges, certification programs. Are we seeing soldiers really kind of embrace that and really grab onto these programs?
Absolutely. Soldiers are very excited about the Army continuing education effort, as well as a series of credentialing and entrepreneurial and on-the-job training and job shadowing efforts as well. It's always a balancing act between combat missions and other requirements. But I will tell you, the good news is commanders know that balancing act more than anybody, and whenever possible, they try to support the soldiers to reach their long-term transition goal, which again, when you start early, you can work some of these things into the program. If you start a month out, you really don't have any choice. You just got to kind of suck it up and go.
You know, sir, talk to us about, because, I mean, you kind of mentioned the deployment dynamic. So you're dealing with a service that is really deployed all over the place, in the Middle East and Africa and Europe and Asia and everywhere else. And there's constant deployments. There's constant being overseas. What are the virtual aspects of your, of your services that a person can really tap into that no matter where they are, they can really still utilize you?
Yeah, that's a great point. America's Army is a deployed Army and will be for the foreseeable future. So one of the ways that our Army invested in this program is to stand up a 24/7 virtual center. We're the only service to have that. Every other service, you have to physically go to a brick-and-mortar site. In the Army, we're a choice-based program, so a soldier can go to the brick-and-mortar site on their installation, if they're there and if that works, or if they want to do it at midnight on Saturday night because that's the best time for them to talk about their budget or their resume, they can use our 24/7 TAP center. Similarly, if they're deployed in the middle of nowhere, if they have access to an internet, they can do it there. They get the same service. They get to talk one-on-one with a counselor with a master's degree. All of our counselors have master's degrees in counseling. So it's a phenomenal advantage to the American soldier in that they can do it literally anytime, any place, and they can get professional one-on-one coaching and counseling to help them through this this period of transition.
You know, with all of that, I mean, and I was even going through some of the demos that, before we talked, and, I saw a lot of different things where you can have an avatar kind of sitting down with a virtual counselor and talking about certain things. Have you found that to be very, very successful? Have a lot of soldiers kind of bought into that?
Yeah, we do. We have several thousand soldiers a month that go into our virtual center, and they speak with an avatar, and they walk around rooms and up elevators, and they sit down in a conference room, and they go over their resumes and their budgets and their MOS gap analysis and their transition goals and challenges and all those things with a real live human being, and it's not just a phone call. I mean, they're looking at each other, albeit an avatar, in a conference room. So it's pretty neat, and it's very popular.
You know, we have got about a minute left. What other things you want to make sure you get across to people who are listening, soldiers are transitioning, and everything else?
Well, I'll tell you, the long and short of it is I think the Army's starting to turn a corner on how we address the final human resource life cycle phase, which is the phase of transition. And the way we address it really is to get commanders and leaders personally involved. And then, therefore, soldiers at all levels begin this process early. Go early and go often through a myriad of virtual and brick-and-mortar availabilities and really think about how to be successful in your transition. And what we see now, after having done this program for the last 5 or 6 years, re-engineered it, is the lowest unemployment expense in the last 13 years. So something good is working. Certainly a lot of players, MCOM, our partners in the Soldier for Life office, the installations, and the economy. But the complicated arithmetic problem, really happy that it's coming around. And I appreciate your time today, Derek. I know you're busy. You got a lot of topics to talk about. I appreciate the support of those listening on the radio and their service to our great country. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And I want to make sure people are able to find you. If you Google a Soldier for Life Transition Assistance Program, but also, too, if you go to sfl-tap.army.mil, you'll find it. Or just Google Soldier for Life Transition Assistance Program. You'll find their site. It says on there the Army's official transition website. And all those services are on there. You're probably getting it in your briefings. But if you're even a soldier who's out of the military, it's a good site to take a look at. I probably want to get you engaged with the different associations and other things like that. And there's some numbers and different resources that you can tap into. Colonel Hurt, we thank you for your service. Thank you for what you're doing for the Army. Thank you for helping people succeed. And we're going to probably definitely have you back so we can continue to to talk about this. And as we go 2017, we want to make sure that all of our service members succeed after they get out of the active Army. And we appreciate everything that you guys are doing. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You've been listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.